you have your Bibles this morning, I wanted to ask you, if you will, to turn with me to three parts of the Lord's Word. And the first would be in Luke chapter 19, if you'd turn there with me, please. Luke chapter 19. I'd like to begin reading in verse 11 of Luke chapter 19 and read this parable to you. As they heard these things, Jesus added and spake a parable because he was nigh to Jerusalem and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. It came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much each man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required my own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said to him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto every one which shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. Now, I want you to, if you will, to hold your hand here for a moment. And let me ask you to bear with me to look back to Matthew chapter 25 for a moment. In verse 14 of Matthew 25, the Lord the Lord Jesus speaks to his disciples. And in verse 14 he says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey." And then, of course, the same thing follows, and the Lord tells us this man came back and required of these servants to give an account, and there were results that followed. Now, I'd like to ask you, if you will, to look with me to Matthew chapter 20 for a moment. In Matthew chapter 20, beginning in the first verse, the Lord speaks about the kingdom of heaven again. And he speaks of this householder who goes to the marketplace to hire laborers. And he goes at different hours of the day. And at the close of the day, you'll see that he paid every man the same thing. Every man received a penny. And I want to put these three things before you this morning for a particular reason to try to interest you in something that will be of importance. Now, I haven't read all of the stories in Matthew, just the one in Luke, but I want you to think with me in regards to this. One day the Lord's going to come. And one day every person that has believed on the Lord Jesus Christ will stand before him. Every believer will stand before the Lord Jesus. And we have a lot of traditions and a lot of ideas and so forth as to how that'll be. We sing different things, we say things, but I want you to see what the Bible says, and that's the only valid thing to rely on. Now, in regards to one of these little stories, the Lord gives every man the same thing. They have all in common. Now, that's the way people think the Lord is. We're all going to be the same. But then in this parable of Matthew chapter 25, he distinguishes between servants. He gives 1 5, 1 2, and then another 1. And it's according to their ability. And then in Matthew chapter 20, this is the way that men think that it will be when the Lord comes and when we stand before him. He gives every man a penny, a day's wages, a denarius. And so, if you compare these three stories, you may be confused. Well, what's the Lord going to do? He's going to do all three. And it behooves us to know what we should do in order to prepare for a favorable meeting with our Lord. And you'll see that sometimes the Lord gives more to one than to another, and it's at his discretion. You'll see that at the end of this day in Matthew chapter 20, that he really paid people more for 1 hour's work than he did for people who worked all day. And what I want to do today is to try to help you to see the vast difference between these three parables. And these three stories, they're not all said to be parables, but I would like for you to scrutinize with me for a few minutes Luke chapter 19. And you're going to be there. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, you'll be there. You need to be interested in it. And in this story of Luke chapter 19, there are only three things that I really want to point out to you in regards to this story. Now, if you'll notice with me, in verse 13, this nobleman had 10 servants, and he delivered unto them 10 pounds. Now, this is not something that's really valuable. These pounds are called money in verse 15. And this word money is a silverling. It's just a piece of silver. It's actually a weight, a mina in Hebrew. But they weighed money in these days, and the weight determined its value. And so this is not really something that is as valuable as the talent in Matthew chapter 25. The talent is quite valuable. And that's not an ability. It's a measure of money in Matthew 25. And the first thing that we need to look at this morning is in regards to this parable of the pound. What does the pound represent? And how do we know what he means in regards to this? And whatever we determine that the pound means or stands for or is a symbol of must fit every situation. And so I want you to see in this verse 13 a word. And this word is delivered. Now the Lord didn't say that this nobleman gave these pounds. He says he delivered them. And there's he did give them to him, but there's a reason that he uses this word delivered. You know, if you order groceries like you used to a long time ago, there was a guy that would get the groceries and deliver them to your house. And that's what he means here. It's not that they didn't exist, but they were delivered to you. They're your responsibility now. And that's the word that the Lord uses in this parable. Now, if you'll hold your hand here for a moment, I'd like to ask you to turn with me to the book of Jude. And I'd like to just read one verse in the book of Jude. It would be the 3rd verse. And Jude writes this word to us in verse 3. Beloved, indicative of to whom he's writing. when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And that's what the pound represents. It's the faith. Every believer has that. The Lord has delivered this, and this was in response, this parable was, when His disciples thought the kingdom of God would immediately appear. And Jesus is teaching them an important lesson. And the thing that the pound represents, in my opinion, is the faith in regards to the Lord's second coming and His coming kingdom to rule over this earth. Now this will become muddled to you in a minute. But this is a part of what you should believe as one of the Lord's children. And this was delivered to you. It was delivered to the saints. And when Jude says, earnestly contending, it's similar to the nobleman's words, occupy. And it means to be busy about doing, to be trading, to be involved with it. And with that in your mind, I want to call your attention back to the parable of the pounds for a moment. And I want you to see that each servant had a pound, and that was the common thing that the nobleman gave to each one of these servants. Every believer has this at his disposal. Now then, in Matthew 25, when the man gives his servants talents, the last one is chastised severely. He's not here. He has taken from him that which the nobleman gave him, but he's not chastised. Now I want you to look with me in regards to this parable of the pounds, and I want to dwell for a minute on this first servant. When the Lord comes, He says to the first servant who came to Him, He said, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And the Lord says to him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. Now, let me explain something to you. You say, well, I read a verse of Scripture every day. I give my tithes faithfully to the Lord each Sunday. I'm faithful in church. That's not what he's talking about. What he's talking about is the faith. He's talking about believing in the truth that He's delivered to us. Oh, but preacher, you know, if you say, I tithe, I am faithful in reading the Scripture, I fast, do you know what you are? A Pharisee. But faithful in a very little thing is occupying, in regards to this pound, which represents the faith of the Lord's coming and of His kingdom rule, which was delivered to us. Now then, let me show you how the Lord emphasizes this so much. In verse 17, when the Lord deals with this servant, He praises him. He doesn't praise the second servant. He said the same thing in regards to his rulership, but He didn't praise him. And look at this in verse 17, and let me show you something that will be interesting to you, I hope. He said, "Thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. Now let me ask you to mark 3 verses of Scripture down in regards to that. Matthew 4:25, Mark 5:20, and Mark 7:31. Let me read them to you. Look with me in Matthew chapter 4 for a moment. Let me read verse 25 to you in Matthew chapter 24. In Matthew 4, verse 25, you'll see that He's just called Peter and Andrew, James and John to follow Him. We talked about it last week, you know. And in verse 23, He says that there were all kinds of people that came and were healed. And He was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. In the 24th verse, you'll see that there's the sicknesses that are healed, the people that are possessed with demons and that are moonstruck. And then in verse 25, He says, "And there followed Him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and Judea and Jordan." Now, you know about Galilee, don't you? You know about Judea, Jerusalem, and Jordan. Do you know where Decapolis is? Read with me in Mark chapter 5 for a moment. Mark chapter 5. You will remember this story. It's about a man that's possessed with a demon. And Jesus asked him what his name is, and he says it's Legion, because there were many. And the Lord speaks to this man that was possessed with a demon, and he came out. And you know something that's interesting here in Mark chapter 5 that might encourage you? Is these people that kept these swine were mad at Jesus, and they asked Him to leave, and He did. And the demons that were in this man asked Him if they could go into the swine, and Jesus let them. And this man that Jesus had healed asked Him to let him follow Him, and Jesus refused. And this ought to tell you that sometimes the Lord answers prayers of bad people and refuses to grant the request of some good people. But in this story, in Mark chapter 5, you'll see that this man in verse 15 is sitting, clothed, and in his right mind before Jesus. And in verse 20 of Mark 5, this man departed, and he began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. And there's that name again, Decapolis. What does that mean to you personally? You know, if you have a loved one or if you're personally one that's involved in demons being cast out, why would it matter whether you were in Chattanooga, Knoxville, or Nashville? Why did Jesus put that there? And then if you look with me in Mark chapter 7, you'll see the third one of these instances. And this involves a Greek woman, a Syrophoenician woman, and the Lord cast a demon out of her. And in verse 31, after the Lord has done this, in Mark chapter 7, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came to the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And there's that name. That's the only three times it's mentioned in the New Testament. Why would he name that? Do you know what it means? It means 10 cities. It's a Greek word, deca, which is 10. And then the metropolis, which is city. It means 10 cities. And do you not suppose that the Lord put that there to continuously remind us, if you will be victorious, follow me, let me clean your life up, let me deal with you, and if you would be victorious, you must occupy in regards to the pound that I've given you. And I think that that's why the Lord geographically mentions this place, Decapolis. It's to remind us of this parable, that we are to be trading, to be busy about the truth of the kingdom. And this one person in our parable gained 10 pounds with this pound. Now I want to show you something. I want to ask you to follow with me quickly. The Lord deals with this second man, and he has only gained 5, so he'll only rule over 5 cities. And then with this third man in Luke chapter 19, what is really the problem here? The problem is that there's no increase. It's not a problem of whether he has a pound. He does have a pound, but there's no increase. And what the Lord has told us in regards to this is that we are to share with others. We are to tell others. We are to trade. We are to be. And you'd say, preacher, if there's no increase, what difference does it make? Let me show you. Look in this parable. Do you remember when the first man came? He said, I've gained 10 pounds. How many would he have? If he had one, and this one gained 10, he'd have 11. But he didn't. Look down with me, if you will, to verse 24. The nobleman said, take from him the pound and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. He should have had 11, but he just had 10. And in verse 25, the people that were there said to him, Lord, he has 10 pounds. Little jealousy, don't you reckon? Little Baptist doctrine there. Do you know what that means? It means if you don't increase the pound that the Lord gives you, when He comes back, He's going to take His pound back and you won't have anything. If there's no increase, then there's no reward. Do you know why the Lord says in Isaiah chapter 9 what He says? Unto us a child is born and a son is given. But do you know what He says in verse 7 of Isaiah chapter 9? He says, of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end. And if you are to participate in this kingdom, there must be increase. Because one day, if there is no increase, you won't have anything. And it is at the Lord's discretion to give to whom He so desires what He wants to at the end of this age. Now look back quickly with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 19. I want to mention one other thing and then I'll close. If you hold your hand in Luke chapter 19, look back to Matthew's gospel with me for a minute. To chapter 12. Let me read a verse that's really unusual. And I want you to look with me to Matthew chapter 12. Look with me in the 37th verse. And this is sort of a hard verse to understand. Matthew 12, verse 37. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. And you know, most of us know that one day when the Lord... Now, Lord, the reason I did this... And I had an uncle once, you know, and I just got out of school and was preaching, and he was a good fella, a jolly fella, frivolous and whatever, and he says to me... And I've told you this before, you know, but he says to me, Royce, if the Lord will just give me 5 minutes, I'll do some of the tallest praying before I die that you've ever heard in all your life. Well, he didn't. He came in and laid down on his bed and died in his sleep. What did he tell the Lord? And what will you tell the Lord? Well, now, Lord, the reason that I didn't do any better was because of that old dumb preacher that wouldn't. And you'll be right, probably. By thy words thou shalt be justified. By thy words thou shalt be condemned. Your excuse will be the condemnation. look back to the parable in Luke 19. Verse 21. Lord, I feared thee because thou art an austere man, a meticulous person that keeps up with everything. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, reapest that that thou didst not sow. Do you know what this man's problem was? He didn't love the Lord. Oh, but you don't know that, brother. Yes, I do. But he was his servant. Yeah, but he still didn't love him. Do you know why? Perfect love casts out fear. Do you know that that's why I try to tell you that the Lord loves you and that you need to love Him? I love my daddy, but he could beat the tar out of you sometimes. And oh, what the Lord is going to do. This man didn't love him properly. He was not mature. And look in verse 22. The nobleman said to this servant, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee. By thy words wilt thou be justified, and by thy words will you be judged. The thing that you think will be legitimate in explaining why or why not you didn't or did will be your own condemnation. And it's your attitude toward the Lord and your relationship with Him that means that. Oh, well, this preacher, you know, and I talked to this man for a long, long time, many, many times, and he used to always tell me, if I can just make it in, it'll be okay. It won't. No, it won't. You're going to be accountable for your work, for the gift that the Lord's given you, and for the faith that He's delivered to you. Now then, you'll see in verse 24 of this parable that all the Lord did here was take the pound away from the man with 1 pound. He didn't cast him to outer darkness. He didn't do any of that. But he did take away his pound because he had no increase. And then I want to remind you that of the vast difference between this story and Matthew 25. In Luke chapter 19, there are 10 servants that are mentioned in the beginning of this parable, but only 3 that are dealt with. What happened to the other 7? Is it possible that because of this servant who hid his pound, that the others lost sight of what was happening and what it was for? Is this a part of what Paul means when he says, if the good news, if the gospel that we have is hid, it's hid to them that are lost, to those that are wayward, to those that don't know? And in regards to this little parable, he teaches us several things, irregardless of what the rest means. 2 out of the 10 did something with their pound. 1 didn't use it at all. And the other 7 are unknown And if you go out into the world and you think about what's happening this morning, you won't hear a lot about the kingdom rule of the Lord Jesus. It's not taught. You won't hear a lot about the Lord's going to deal with every individual in a different way and in regards to what they'll be accountable to Him for. But you will be. Now look at you. And I look at and think of the people that have been here and that have come and used to be here and that are dead and gone and whatever. And my responsibility as a good preacher and teacher is to tell you what I've told you this morning. You'll be accountable one day. And you'll have to deal with it. And I want you to be prepared. I really do. You know, you preacher, do you love us all that well? Well, I love some of you better than others. And I won't discuss that with you, but I do. And as a preacher and as a teacher, I'm trying to tell you something that you're going to face one day. How will it be? What will you say? What will your life mean to the Lord? And if you will, stand with me for a moment and we'll have a little word of prayer.